Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Public Safety Commission meeting for October. Call to order, roll call. Commissioner Blair.
Here.
Commissioner Long.
Here.
Commissioner Stodgill.
Here.
Commissioner Horde.
Here.
And I'm Chairman Mock. A quorum of the Public Safety Commission is present, and the public meeting of the commission is called to order and will now proceed. The time is 10 o'clock in the morning. The location of the meeting is the Criminal Law Enforcement Auditorium at 6100 Guadalupe, as posted in the agenda. We will now consider the agenda items that have been posted for this meeting, and we'll start with an invocation by Chaplain Furman Carpenter. Please rise.
Let's pray. Almighty and all-loving Father, we thank you so much for the great state of Texas. We thank you for her citizens, for her governor, for her legislators, for the good work that they do for our government, Father. We thank you so much, Father, for every man and woman in the Department of Public Safety. We thank you, Father, for our commissioners, for the great job that they do. Thank you that they were able to get here safely today, Father, but the things they do in between times, Father, thank you for their great love for our state, for our laws, and for you. We thank you for Colonel Martin and his command staff and all the other law enforcement and admin that work under him, Father. We thank you for the great leadership that they are providing. We ask you, Father, to be with our recruits, Father, that are in the academy. We ask you to be with their teachers and to help them, Father, to teach them, the instructors, the right thing, the best thing, so they can be top troopers. We ask you, Father, to be with our men who have and women who have retired from the Department of Public Safety. We thank you for their service, Father. We thank you for the way they have stood the test of time, Father, and been good examples. Father, we ask you to be with those families, Father, who have lost their loved ones in the line of duty. Please, Father, watch over and care for them and help us, Father, never to forget the great service that their loved ones gave us. Please, Father, watch over and care for each man and woman that wears a badge, Father, and please take care of their families as their way, and please bring them home safely every night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, for Chaplain Carpenter. We'll now have the pledges by Trooper Francisco Garcia.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. Please be seated. Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the Public Safety Commission meeting that was held on October the 7th, 2025. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
A second.
A motion from Commissioner Blair and a second from Commissioner Long to approve the minutes of the Public Safety Commission meeting held on August 7th, 2025. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thank you. We'll now move into presentations, and I'll turn it over to Colonel Martin.
Commissioners, Chairman, if you'll join me for the best part of today's commission meeting.
The following employees will be presented a certificate in recognition of their 30 years of service and accomplishment with the Texas Department of Public Safety. Kathleen Murphy, Officer General Kimberly Stevens, Driver License Division.
Thank you.
The following employees will be presented a certificate in recognition of their 35 years of service and accomplishment with the Texas Department of Public Safety. Cecilia Woods, Driver's License Division. Eula Young, Homeland Security Division. The following employees will be presented a certificate in recognition of their 45 years of service and accomplishment with the Texas Department of Public Safety. Renee Garza, Texas Highway Patrol. Anthony Provo, Texas Highway Patrol. On May 14th, 2025, Trooper Ivan Brightwell arrived at the scene of a crash involving an SUV that struck the rear of an 18-wheeler in Chambers County. Trooper Brightwell discovered the driver was injured and trapped as the force of the impact had lodged the SUV under the rear of the semi-trailer. Trooper Brightwell obtained a pry bar from his patrol unit and, with the collaborative effort with others on scene, worked tirelessly to gain access to the driver. A witness later described how Trooper Brightwell went above and beyond the call of duty, working without interruptions and with limited tools. His efforts allowed other first responders immediate access to free the driver using hydraulic tools and to provide emergent care. In recognition of his significant and decisive response to a life-threatening situation resulting in the saving of a life, Trooper Ivan Brightwell is hereby awarded the director's citation. Throughout 2024, Corporal Eric De Leon demonstrated extraordinary dedication and skill in criminal interdiction and emergency medical responses. Due to Corporal De Leon's proactive patrol efforts, he seized over 40 pounds of illegal substances, including psilocybin, marijuana, promethazine, and methamphetamine. Trooper De Leon also seized 8 vehicles involved in illegal engine swaps, seized 61 weapons associated with criminal activities, and made 220 criminal arrests, including a known murder suspect. Between May 2024 and December 2024, Corporal De Leon provided life-saving measures that included tourniquets, chest seals, gauze, and EMS responses, ensuring the survival of 4 separate gunshot victims. Corporal De Leon's actions have been acknowledged by local fire departments and EMS. In recognition of his significant and professional efforts in criminal interdiction and emergency medical response, Corporal Eric De Leon is hereby awarded the Director's Citation. On May 18, 2025, Troopers Jeremy Ellis and Ty Wilkerson responded to a major motor vehicle crash involving a wrong-way driver on the Dallas North Tollway. A Dodge Durango collided head-on with a Mercedes-Benz. Both vehicles were sustained catastrophic front-end damage. As Troopers Ellis and Wilkerson arrived on the scene, they immediately approached the Mercedes-Benz and broke out the driver and passenger door windows to reach the occupants. While doing so, a small explosion erupted from the Durango that was on fire. Both troopers were enveloped in thick smoke, but continued their efforts to assess and aid the female occupants. Tollway roadside safety services technicians worked to contain the flames with a fire extinguisher, while Troopers Ellis and Wilkerson redirected their focus to the driver of the Durango. Trooper Wilkerson attempted to break the driver's side window, while Ellis entered the rear passenger side and successfully extracted the driver from the burning vehicle. Troopers Ellis and Wilkerson acted under extreme conditions, under threat from fire, toxic smoke, and risk of further explosions, without regard to their own safety. In recognition of their significant and decisive response to a life-threatening situation resulting in the saving of a life, Troopers Jeremy Ellis and Ty Wilkerson are hereby awarded the Life-Saving Award. On January 28th, 2025, Corporal Andrew Fagley was at the Canton Highway Patrol Office when a driver's license employee alerted Corporal Fagley to a child in distress. Corporal Fagley ran over and observed a male subject holding a 17-month-old baby boy in his arms. The child was face up with his eyes open and lips were dark blue. Corporal Fagley immediately took the child, placed him face down, and began giving back thrusts. After multiple attempts, the child started struggling to breathe and cry. Corporal Fagley continued to assess the child's improvement and maintained an open airway until EMS transported the child to a local children's hospital. In recognition of his significant and decisive response to a life-threatening situation resulting in the saving of a life, Corporal Andrew Fagley is hereby awarded the Life Saving Award. On July 3rd, 2025, while working Operation Holiday, Trooper Joshua Garcia responded to a roadside medical emergency in Jackson County. Trooper Garcia observed an individual attempting chest compressions on a man who was reclined in the front seat of a vehicle. Trooper Garcia immediately instructed the individual to lay the man on the ground. After checking for a pulse, Trooper Garcia began chest compressions until the subject regained consciousness. Trooper Garcia continued caring for the man until EMS arrived and transported him to a local hospital. In recognition of a significant and decisive response to a life-threatening situation resulting in the saving of a life, Trooper Joshua Garcia is hereby awarded the Life Saving Award.
Well, as the director said, who started this, this is indeed the highlight of every meeting, being able to honor service to the department as well as incredible acts of heroism, service to the people of the state of Texas. We're proud of every one of you. Thank you for all you do, and thank you to your families who are behind you, making it possible for you to do the job you do. We will take a brief break before proceeding with the rest of our event for today. Thank you for being here.
I guess you've heard of the restaurant.
Yeah.
That is probably
when you say grave, probably the first time I probably should be five. 5 minute break or something, you know.
That's what you should know.
Well, we can start with that.
I'm going to try to move it along as fast as possible.
Yeah. I said, I saw you on the ninth floor at DKR for the last game. Do you have a similar experience? Do you have something?
Yes.
I'm
really excited.
You go past their street.
Yeah,
we don't want to have a big discussion.
We usually share with.
Hey, sir, good to see you in the morning. I think we'll be okay.
They're glad I know you're up here.
Yeah, I think that's the last thing.
I'm not even going to Dallas.
I gave my tickets to my daughter.
You're going here soon. It's not here yet.
I've got interesting things. Yeah, we're doing a party on Saturday night.
I am going to follow you. I promise you. I am. Yeah, I tell you. They give me heck when it's outside like lying in the
Friday.
And the son-in-laws can take over.
The Public Safety Commission has ended a brief break, and we're back in session at 10:27 in the morning. Our next item on the agenda is public comment. Do we have anybody signed up for public comment? Is there anyone in the room wishing to give public comment at today's meeting? Hearing none, public comment is now closed. Move on to item 7. I'll turn it over to Colonel Martin for the director's report.
Chairman, we're going to start with a presentation from Texas Highway Patrol Trooper Justin Durr.
Good morning. My name is Corporal Justin Durr. I'm with the Texas Highway Patrol. I've been with Highway Patrol for going on a little over 5 years now. And today I am here to give you a presentation on how decisive leadership contributes to life-saving outcomes. We are specifically going to be talking about an event that occurred a few years ago. And just to give you a little background on that event, it was October 13th of 2022. I was working under Operation Lone Star in Rock Springs, Texas, in Edwards County. This is a county that experienced a heavy volume of human smuggling activity during those years. So on this date at around 2 a.m, I initiated a vehicle pursuit, and the vehicle pursuit lasted for approximately 34 miles, and the speeds were around 96 miles per hour. Just to give you a little bit more information before we go into the next slide, during this event, it was a high-stress event, and during it, I was not near as nervous as I am right now, given this presentation to the public safety.
I have a question. Were you driving the Challenger for this pursuit?
No, sir. I was not driving the Challenger. I included that in the slide in case the colonel wants to, you know, slide one my way one day, but... No, sir, that's all right. So next I'm going to show y'all a quick video compilation. It's going to give y'all 7 different dash cameras and body cameras of other officers who arrived on scene to the event.
They're in the river at the first crossing, roll over.
10-4, one up.
10-4, one up, one person. Corporal. I'm going to go ahead and tone out EMS.
Ahí está un cimento. Súbete para
allá. Give me a light. Light.
Hold it.
Tell him to go to the light.
I got a foot.
Hold on, man. Hold on.
Hey, you got to let him know. Face this direction. Hey, give me a hand.
The door won't open?
No.
No, the handle got broke.
One second.
4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4.
They're all on that side, that's where the air's at.
Hey, tell them we busted out the back windshield.
Okay, la ventana de atrás está abierta. ¿Ya la agarró? Yeah, someone got someone.
Okay. Here. Okay. Right here. Right here. Take her out. Take
her out. I got one.
How many more?
Yeah.
¿Cuántos
más? Here. ¿Cuántos más? Here.
¿Cuántos más? Ustedes ya saben. ¿Cuántos más hay? Falta uno. There's one more. Sí, there's one more. Dale para el otro lado. Todos están saliendo por aquel lado.
All right, so as you'll see from the video, during the pursuit, the vehicle rolled into the Llano River, approximately 12 miles south of Junction, Texas. The vehicle landed upside down with the doors and windows completely submerged and with the doors pinned shut. We had no way of opening them. In order to access the interior of the vehicle to retrieve the trapped occupants, I used a hammer to bust out the windows on the driver's side of the vehicle. I then cut and removed the side curtain airbags, which had deployed during the vehicle crash. Rescuing the occupants from the vehicle required a lot of trust. So in order to get them from the vehicle, they had to completely submerge themselves into this cold, dark water with no light and just a bunch of voices yelling at them. Right. As y'all saw from the video, it was a very high stressful situation. So in order to do that, I submerged myself partially into the cab of the truck in order to give them my hand and kind of guide them through the open windows and out into the river. So we rescued the individuals one by one, assisting them, or in my case, carrying, as you saw in the video, to the riverbank where other law enforcement was waiting to provide care. There were a total of 5 occupants in the vehicle, 3 males and 2 females. Law enforcement acted quickly and without hesitation for our own safety. Strong and decisive leadership in the face of danger inspired swift action, coordinated efforts, and ultimately saved lives. The coordination between all the different law enforcement agencies that were there, which included our Kimball County Sheriff's Office, U.S. Border Patrol, Junction Police Department, Edwards County Sheriff's Office, it really is what resulted in us being able to turn this into a successful event where we're saving lives. So the 452nd District Attorney, Tanya Allschwied, presented three of the law enforcement officers with life-saving awards. The recipients were myself, our Kimball County Sheriff, Matt Settle, and Junction PD Officer Rupert Pena were pictured here receiving those awards. So this gentleman is the driver. His name's Mr. Ruben Sandoval. After an indictment, the 452nd DA's office requested assistance from DPS CID in the apprehension of Ruben Sandoval. Ruben Sandoval decided he wanted to take this event to trial, and so a Kimball County jury convicted Ruben Sandoval on all charges. Ruben Sandoval then decided he wanted the judge to conduct sentencing, in which the judge sentenced him, as y'all can see, 99 years for smuggling of persons causing death, 20 years for smuggling a person's likelihood of serious bodily injury or death, and then 20 years of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Here are a couple pictures from the week of the trial. The trial occurred earlier this year in March. DPS provided us with a command trailer, which was used as our base of operations for the duration of the trial. And this just to show y'all all the amount of people, the prosecutors, the law enforcement that came together in order to make this and get a successful sentencing. I could spend all day telling you all the names of everybody who's involved in this thing to make it what it is today. So this event has become an example of the brutality of these smuggling events and the actions that we as law enforcement take to combat it. I've hit on this a lot already, but close collaboration with our partners is what did it. I mean, us all being able to come together seamlessly and make these decisions saved lives. And I'm very proud of what we did as a team in order to do this and achieve a successful outcome. That's all I have to say about that. thank you.
Well, like the presentations we made earlier today, it's another incredible example of bravery and selflessness and professionalism. You have represented the department very well, and we're very proud of this. And so thank you. If you felt like you were nervous in front of us, you didn't seem that way. So you're ready to go for the future.
You did.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, sir. And I got to say, it's an honor to be here in front of you guys and presenting this. I'm sorry if that seemed informal, if y'all. But it's been an honor. And thank you so much for having me here and being able to shed light on something that we take very seriously and we're very proud of.
Yeah. Good work. Commissioners, any other questions, comments?
No, I think you might have a career in public speaking. You did a good job.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Chairman, we thought it was important. We give out a lot of life-saving awards, and it's different when you hear somebody read the narrative of what happened and seeing what happened. This case was just adjudicated, so we thought it was a good opportunity following the life-saving awards. To put a face on it, when it, you know, the you see in the background performing CPR, and it's stuff that they deal with every day. We recognize their service and their heroism, but it's different when you see it. So that was really the purpose of doing that today. And
I would suggest Colonel, if we haven't put that on social media, we ought to put it together as a digital share.
With that, I just have three real quick updates since our last meeting. We had three directives by the governor that have been in the media. The first one was increasing hemp enforcement. Following this last legislative session and some bills that did not pass and directives, executive orders, we've been tasked with increasing our hemp enforcement. There's roughly 10,000 vape and smoke shops in Texas. What we have found with our local partners, a lot of the investigations into these, there's nefarious activities going on within these shops. There's issues with being over the legal limit with some of the products that are being sold. We're directed to do something about that. So we're teaming up with our federal partners, our local partners, and our local partners really know which shops are the problems, which ones that they see they have more issues with. But this is really all not to infringe on the federal legislation and the rights that adults have, but to protect children and these products that are being sold. So we came up with a plan. We're working with our Criminal Investigations Division and our federal partners with DSHS and TABC, and we plan on targeting one per district per month, which doesn't sound like much, but that's 60 to 70 investigations a month that CID is going to have additional investigations and doing undercover operations, making undercover buys, testing product, and making sure that they're in compliance with all the state and federal statutes. And then we'll work with our, as we find in a lot of these, we will start the investigation, we'll work with our local partners, and as we uncover stuff, we will involve IRS, FBI, DEA, and others to address federal statutes that are being violated with those. The next one you might have seen was a task force to deal with protecting religious spaces in Texas. That has been an issue nationwide. In Texas, we already do a pretty good job, but we can always do better. The top of the statement says that we don't discuss operational issues, and there's a lot of stuff we don't want to discuss, but there are things we do want to discuss. We want the media to know that it's an issue, it's a concern. We want them to know how to report suspicious activity. iWatch Texas, report it to your federal agencies, report it to your local agencies. We don't care how it happens. If you see something, you need to say something and report it. So there's going to be a social media campaign. You'll see a lot of stuff coming out of the media communications office highlighting how to report suspicious activity, what type of activity would need to be reported. And we're also working with the coalitions and associations that are tasked with protecting churches. There's a whole community out there for protecting churches, synagogues, and mosques. And we communicate with them through the Homeland Security Division and our intelligence, but we can always do better. If they have been, we had a call this morning with the Jewish community. They have a great network nationwide with a lot of retired law enforcement and federal agencies that do a really good job collecting data. We need to make sure that we have all that, and we need to make sure that when we have intelligence that we can share it with the people that are in charge of protecting these places of worship. So there's a lot going on. There's going to be an increased presence of uniformed troopers and local officers. So we'll coordinate with them to make sure that we know what's going on when they're having events, that we'll have that will help them harden these targets and as a deterrence. But then we also have the covert operations going on. So there's going to be investigations into the threats that we have, like we work our threat to life teams, as well as covert surveillance and operations, and encouraging, there's a big training component to this. And there's a lot of stuff that we do that people don't know. Actually, the Homeland Security Division does the targeted violence and terrorism prevention training. So we'll work with these coalitions to increase that training, encourage off-duty officers to carry. When a lot of people on Sunday morning, when they're going to church with their family, they don't. But we got to change that mindset and then teach them how to respond. And then also work with our regulatory divisions that regulate private security. A lot of these have their own security teams and stuff to make sure they're properly licensed and trained, and always offer additional training to them. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Some stuff you will see, you will notice, and then other things that you won't notice. But I'm happy to answer any questions you have related to that.
Would you touch on the new effort in Harris County that the governor
announced? I will. That was the third that came out. And I knew some of these, I anticipated some of these questions from the media, that why Houston when crime is down 22%? You really have to look at the numbers. And so there was such a spike in 2020 in crime that it is down 22%, but it's still much higher than it should be. Harris County has a pro public safety mayor. They've got an excellent police chief, an excellent sheriff. There's 60 municipal police stations. There's probably more now within Harris County. We have a great relationship with the constables, the police chiefs, the surrounding counties. They have nine new judges who are pro-public safety. We've run operations in Harris County for many years. We had Operation Lone Star that you're very familiar with. We had the takeover robberies. We had the jugging robberies where it caused us to change legislation to increase penalties. All that stuff were highly successful operations. But there's nowhere in Texas that we have better intelligence and sharing of information. It's just like the TAG in Houston, the Texas Anti-Gang Center, is extremely successful. So there's not a better place, a better model for us to implement this and make Houston, you know, it's the largest city in Texas. So that's one reason. It's the fourth largest city in the nation. If we can do it in Houston, we can do it anywhere. And we've proven that we can have success there. And we already have those relationships in place. It only makes sense that we would start in Houston. If we can do it in Houston, we can do it anywhere in Texas. And so that's the starting place. What we've identified through these other operations I talked about is we're arresting the same people over and over and over. And we've said this for years. We talk about recidivism. These are repeat offenders. When we arrest one guy and he's got 17 other charges, this guy's not going to go to work tomorrow. He's not going to get a job and go to work. So if he's out on bond, if he's out on probation, he's out on parole, number one, we're going to make sure that he's in compliance with his bond, probation, or parole. A large percentage of these are easy. They're easy targets because they have warrants. So we will have targeted groups that will target these individuals and get them off the streets and arrest them and put them in jail on their warrants. But there's others that don't have warrants. They're out on bond, they're on probation or parole. We know they're repeat offenders, and we'll do covert operations targeting them. And then the high crime areas, we'll saturate them with patrol in collaboration. And it doesn't all have to be DPS. The constables will be very involved in this. Precinct 4, Mark Herman, Houston PD, all the local jurisdictions too. So this is not just a Houston PD DPS task force. We've had calls from a lot of the police chiefs are calling and saying, hey, why weren't we invited? You're involved in this. We couldn't have 60 police chiefs speaking at a press conference, but they're all going to be involved in this and really led by Houston PD, DPS, and Harris County. And the model's already in place. We know we can achieve success, and there's no reason why Houston can't be the safest large city in the nation. And so I think everything's really aligned, and that's why we want to start in Houston, then we can roll out to other cities.
Having observed it for a while, I'm really, really happy about the relationships the department has and maintains with various law enforcement agencies throughout the state. And you're able to have those conversations and just get to the meat of things and address the problem. So thank you for your leadership, as well as everybody who's been part of that and continues to keep that chain of communication open.
It's really exciting times for law enforcement and talking to all the police chiefs and sheriffs in the surrounding counties, because normally we're reactive when there's a real problem and we're trying to get that problem. The police chief's trying to keep his job by getting the numbers down. This is different. This is, you know, people are motivated to go out there because they feel like they're making a difference. And everybody's working together. So there's no egos. There's no this is what right looks like. So we're excited about it. But pending questions, that's all I have for the director's report.
Commissioners, any other questions, comments? All right. Thank you. Before we move on to the next item on our new business, I'll get my update here. We have special guests with us today, and I want to recognize them all and thank them for being here. From Office of Governor Greg Abbott, we have Scott McNaughton. From the Office of Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, we have Suzanne Tomlinson and Megan Mueller. And from Senator Perry's office, we have Rob Callen. Senator Flores' office, we have Kevin Pattinson. Senator Birdwell's office, we have Shelby Sterling and Truman Crawford. So thank you all for being here today. And if I missed anybody, I'm sorry, but again, the support of the legislature's support of the governor and lieutenant governor is critical for the success of this department, and we're very appreciative for that. So thank you. Item 8 under new business, or item 8 is new business. We'll go to item A, which is report, discussion, and possible action regarding the proposed fiscal year 2026 CAO internal audit strategy presented by Chief Catherine Melvin.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairman, Commissioners. For the record, Catherine Melvin, Chief Auditor. In your binders is the proposed fiscal year 2026 internal audit strategy, of which I'm seeking your approval today. The work performed by the Chief Auditor's Office is an important component in assuring accountability, economy, efficiency, and effectiveness throughout the department's operations. The plan or the strategy before you continues to focus on critical risk areas, yet builds in flexibility to allow for commissioners and management's requests for services as they may arise throughout the year, and they do. So this approach balances the need for agility and responsiveness and the need to ensure that the internal audit function is focused on critical areas. We have found this to be an effective balance to best serve a very dynamic environment such as ours. We will seek opportunities in FY26 to continue our assistance to the department in improving controls, reducing risk, and supporting the department's mission and continuously seeking excellence. Before I close, there are two important things I'd like to draw your attention to. First, you might notice the addition of a new element in our plan, and that is performance objectives. And the performance objectives are part of a new requirement in our professional auditing standards. I might have mentioned that in a previous presentation before you. Our required audit standards went through big changes, and so some of that is reflected in the new plan. Secondly, it's always important to talk about what the plan does not cover. And so while the proposed plan before you results from a consideration of a wide-ranging scope of department responsibilities, it does not, nor does it intend to address or provide complete coverage of all department components, activities, responsibilities, etc. Our goal is to optimize our resources to provide reasonable coverage in areas that we believe would most benefit from our services and address risk. However, because we cannot address risk in all areas, it is very important to understand the inherent limitations of audit coverage, of course, and accordingly management's responsibility for the systems of internal control. That said, I believe that the plan appropriately and best allocates the resources of the Chief Auditor's Office at this point in time. We'd like to thank Commissioner Horde for working with us, department management and staff for their assistance and their continued partnership and support throughout the year. The other point of mention I'd like to bring forward is that we are undergoing an audit ourselves. So every 3 years, the audit function undergoes a peer review, which is another auditor from another state agency typically comes and reviews us. So we're under audit. We expect the results of that towards the end of this month. And so I expect early in November, I should be sending you hopefully positive results. And with that, again, this is an action item. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Before we go on, I just want to remind everybody that the Chief Auditor is one of our three direct reports. She reports directly to the commission and not to the colonel. And I, having worked with her for quite a number of years, have just been very impressed with the quality of you and your team. And I think really sets forth a model for state agencies for internal audit. And I also want to thank Commissioner Horde for his stepping up and being willing to serve as the commission's liaison to the Chief Auditor's Office. It's an important role. He's had an opportunity to not only provide oversight, but to work with the Chief Auditor to devise the strategy. So thank you for your work.
Yeah, I just want to say going through for the first time, all your processes, very, very impressed. And
thank you.
Thank you for all you're doing.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
If there are no questions, I would entertain a motion to approve the internal audit strategy for 2026.
So moved.
We have a motion from Commissioner Horde and a second from Commissioner Stodgill to improve the 2026 internal audit strategy under item 8A, new business. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Chief Mueller, before you come up, I want to get Phil to cover his, and then we'll just do you all at one, do all yours at one time. So we'll move to item C under the new agenda, new business. Did I get you on?
Good morning. We have two contested cases coming to you this morning for a final determination. The department seeks to revoke Mumad Hussein's vehicle inspection license. He participated in clean scanning. The penalty for clean scanning is revocation. On May 14th, 2025, a hearing was held before the State Office of Administrative Hearings. On July 10th, 2025, after considering the evidence and applicable law, the administrative law judge issued a proposal for decision recommending that Hussein's vehicle inspection license be revoked. The second case is from the Private Security Bureau. The department seeks to assess an administrative penalty against Cecily Javon Lewis. Lewis provided regulated private security services without being employed by a private security company license holder. The penalty for a first violation of that is an administrative penalty. On June 10, 2025, a hearing was held before the State Office of Administrative Hearings. After considering the evidence and the applicable law, the administrative law judge issued a proposal for decision recommending that a $100 administrative penalty be assessed against Lewis. So I'm requesting that the commission adopt both of these proposals for decision as the final determination in the cases on the agenda this morning.
Is there a motion to adopt the proposals for decision as listed in our agenda?
I'll move that proposals for decisions on number one for revocation and number two for administrative penalty be approved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Blair and a second from Commissioner Long to adopt the proposals for decision found on item 8, new business, C, 1, and 2. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thank you. All right, Chief, I'll turn over to you for items B and D, and I think you have all items under D except for 10.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Wayne Muller, Chief Regulatory Services Division. Under item B, as you're aware, there are a couple of statutory advisory committees associated with programs within the private within the Regulatory Services Division, one of those being the Private Security Program. Chapter 1702, the Occupation Code, entrusts the Public Safety Commission with appointing members to the Private Security Advisory Committee. It is a seven-member committee. Four of the member slots are a licensed representative, one to represent private investigators, one to represent alarm companies, one for locksmiths, and one for security guards. The other three membership slots are public membership slots. One of those slots is currently vacant. We have received an application, and I'm recommending to you today an individual by the name of Stephen Moniger. For full disclosure, up to July of this year, Mr. Moniger was employee of the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 20-year employee, specifically the last 10 years of that 20 years as senior policy analyst for the Regulatory Services Division. So other than the last couple of meetings, every single rule that I brought before you for consideration, all the behind-the-scenes process, Mr. Moniger was involved with the analysis of the statute, statutory change that led to the necessity of that rule, the drafting of the rule, discussion with the industry about the consequences of the rule, things of that nature. And in particular, his focus has been on the private security program. His first 10 years within the agency, he was managing attorney of what is now the Office of Regulatory Counsel, the attorneys that handle the suspension and revocation cases like General Counsel Atkins was just touching upon. In particular, he handled hundreds of license to carry and private security cases during that first 10 years. And so in sum, his 20-year career has revolved heavily around the private security program. And so in my view, that presents a unique opportunity for the advisory committee that even though he is not licensed within the industry, he would bring a tremendous amount of knowledge and experience to this advisory committee. And more importantly, he cares about the success of it and even in retirement is willing to offer his time and participate in that success. And so for those reasons, I am recommending him to the commission and I request your consideration for the appointment of Stephen Moniger into the vacant public member slot on the Private Security Advisory Committee for a term that would end October 2031. Be happy to try and answer any questions you might have.
How long has he been retired?
Since July, just a couple months.
You said October of 31?
Yes, sir. Six-year term.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion. First of all, I want to thank you for the full disclosure on that. That's important. But I think it adds to his credentials and value on that committee. So I see no issue with it. But thank you for covering that. Is there any motion, or is there a motion to approve Stephen Monitor for the public member slot on the Private Security Advisory Committee for a term to expire October 2031?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Blair and a second from Commissioner Horde to approve the appointment of Stephen Monitor as a public member for the Private Security Advisory Committee for a term to expire on October of 2031. Is there any further discussion?
Chairman, I just got one question. Chief, just curious, I mean, extremely qualified and everything. Do we receive some other applications?
Yes, sir. We did receive three applications. I did review all three of those. Quite frankly, Mr. Monitor's was right. by far the one that made the most sense.
That's just a curiosity question more than anything else. Is he the only application? All right. Very well. Very good. And I appreciate the disclosure as well.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. And Chief Mueller, on to the next items. D.
Thank you, Chairman. Again, Wayne Mueller, Regulatory Services Division. Due respect to the chair and the colonel, this is clearly the best part of the commission meeting, I think. So,
clearly.
If you'll bear with me, I will do these collectively, 1 through 9, because I think I can group them in a manner that makes them a bit more absorbable. Starting with items 1 and 2, first of all 9 of these are legislative mandates. They're all reactions to changes that the legislature made during the last legislative session, and therefore our need to flesh it out and rule a bit. Items number 1 and 2 both impact the license to carry program. House Bill 4995 that was passed by the legislature. Session before last, the legislature made a change for those that are emergency response professionals, and putting a certification and endorsement in license to carry that allows them to take a specific class and curriculum through the license to carry instructors. And with that, they then get the certification for their LTC, which essentially allows them, the first responders, to carry while on duty. This session, the legislature did something extremely similar in House Bill 4995 and created a same setup for tactical medical professionals, which are physicians or emergency services personnel that are then employed by or designated by a law enforcement agency head to be involved and participate in tactical operations where there's high risk and potential for victims. With that, item number 1 is our putting language in place and rule for the application process, what they would need to supply to us so that they can get that specific certification from us. And then item number 2 goes to the license to carry instructors and what they have to do to set forth a course that they could hold out in their business for these tactical medical professionals. Moving on to item number 3. Items number 3, 5, 6, and 8 are all actually the same rule. What the legislature did under House Bill 5629 this last session, and this does not apply just to DPS, they did this for all occupational licenses, so it applies to TDLR, to Real Estate Commission, et cetera. If there is a military service member or veteran or spouse thereof that is licensed in another, occupationally licensed in another state, and then they move to Texas and they're seeking a similar license, we are to consider that licensure from the other state when we are determining whether they're eligible to hold license here. So, for example, if someone's a security guard in Arkansas and then they move to Texas as a former military member, we would intake that as part of their application, their licensure there, and we consider that as part of their application as we process it. And so with that, what we're doing in item number 3 is adding that same language to the ignition interlock device program. Item number 5 is adding that to the vehicle inspection program. Item number 6 is adding it to private security. And then lastly, item number 8 is adding it to the metal recycling entity. Again, the same concept for military service members or spouses being licensed elsewhere and us considering that for licensure here.
Jumping back then up to number four, impacts the vehicle inspection program. This is just a cleanup measure. As you recall, the legislature removed the safety side of the vehicle inspection program session before last. We implemented that on January 1 of 25. This had to do with safety inspections related to rental vehicles. It's now moot because that part of the program doesn't exist anymore, and that is just a repeal as a cleanup. That then leaves, lastly, items 7 and 9, which go together, and they impact the metal recycling entity program. This last session, the legislature had quite a bit of lobbying from the communications industry, AT&T in particular, about theft of wiring. In particular, attempts to sell partially or wholly burned wire. There can be scenarios, say a house burns down and there's a salvaging of the copper wiring, the electrical system within the house, and selling to one of our licensees, and that would be a perfectly legitimate instance. Compared to that, unfortunately, we have instances where thieves will go into an AT&T lot and take whole spools of wire and then attempt to burn off the insulation jackets before selling it to one of our licensees. So with that, the legislature put some additional language in place requiring our licensees to take in information so they can understand who the seller is, who's the owner of that wire, and are they authorizing such a sale? And so with that, we had to put some language in place to flesh out that what the requirements are for the documenting and the retention of that documentation as it relates to purchasing wholly or partially burned wire. That's number seven. And then number nine is the corresponding penalty schedule where if one of those licensees fails to comply, what the consequences are against them if they fail to comply. And so with that, Chairman, I think that hopefully kind of puts them at least in a category type form. And at this time, I do request the consideration of the commission for approval to place items D1 through 9, approve the publication of them in the Texas Register for the requisite public comment period. Be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chief, for that riveting presentation. I stand corrected. It is the most exciting part of our meeting. But in all seriousness, a very important part, and I appreciate your team's attention to all these details and keeping everything current and up to date. So thank you. Is there any, do I have a motion?
Yeah, I was going to do a real detailed motion, but I think I'll just move D1 through 9.
Okay.
We approve.
Under new business, item 8.
Okay. Yeah.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion from Commissioner Blair to approve items D1 through 9 as presented in today's agenda under new business, section 8. Is there any further discussion? I said the motion by Blair, seconded by Hoard. Do we have any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. If you'll just stay there, Chief Rippey, if you wouldn't mind joining him at the table, and we'll take these your next item and then move on to ongoing business from there.
Absolutely. Thank you. Good morning. Brian Rippey, Chief of Texas Highway Patrol for the record. I have a new TAC rule that we'd like to propose to move forward. This is also new in Chapter 39, and it's necessary for us to implement from Senate Bill 2807 out of the 89th legislature. It's regarding the authorization for people that operate autonomous vehicles, one or more autonomous vehicle to transport property or persons in furtherance of a commercial enterprise on highways and streets. The big part of this is it creates some rules, and most important thing, it allows a better way to notify first responders that respond to these vehicles when they're involved in crashes or incidents. It requires them to come up with an actual plan, a first responder plan, and outside of the vehicle, they have to have a phone number for the responsible entity, whether it's an operations center like some of the commercial trucking companies, or an individual that's responsible for speaking to the public, the first responders that are responding to this. It also requires a QR code be placed on there. And if you scan that QR code, it also has the business information, contact information, but it will also open up the plan for the first responders that are dealing with this emergency vehicle, such as like how do you put it into park? How do you disable the autonomous driving features, things like that? So it's a really good plan. We did have a change, and I believe Sophie put that into your packet as far as some of the wording. It was just really minor. We got some feedback from some of our motor carrier and industry partners, and it really just dealt with the telephone numbers and the QR codes, making those very readily accessible for first responders to be able to access that and safely take care of these vehicles and occupants around them. No fiscal impact implications for the state. Also, no economic impacts on small businesses or micro businesses. And the result of these rules are obviously for public safety and safety of people operating around these autonomous vehicles. That's all I have, unless you have any questions for me regarding this rule.
No. Do I have a motion to approve under Section 8, New Business, Item D10?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Blair and a second from Commissioner Long to approve the proposed Section 37 TAC Section 39.1 to 39.3 concerning automated motor vehicles to be published in the Texas Register for Public Comment. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Item E, intelligence threat briefing. We'll handle that during executive session. Moving on to item 9, ongoing business. Section A, report, discussion, possible action, possible adoption of the following previously published rules. Now, I actually think this is the most exciting part of the agenda because we're actually adopting rules, not just proposing them. So it's very exciting. So. I'm going to have Chief Rippey do items 1 and 5, and then we'll come back to Chief Mueller for items 2 through 4.
Absolutely. I thought Trooper Durr's presentation was a little better than this. I don't want to be biased, but it was pretty good. So from August, our August 7th meeting, we had proposed some new rules be published into the Texas Register. First one I have is amendments to 4.13 concerning authority to enforce training and certificate requirements. If you remember, those brought some language, some training requirements more in line with our Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance policies, and got a lot more consistency on how we're training and adopting those policies. We did not receive any comments for the adoption of the rule when they were published, so I would ask that this rule be implemented.
Let's go to the okay. item five.
The second one is also a rule that was proposed on the August 7th, 2025 Public Safety Commission meeting. This amendment specifically dealt with school buses, equipment on those school buses. It was for 2025 and newer school buses. There was no action to retrofit any of the earlier versions of school buses with seat belts. We did not receive any comments on those regarding the adoption of these rules, and we request that these rules be approved.
Any questions for Chief Rippey? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve under Section 9, Ongoing Business 8, 1 through, and 5. So items 1 and 5. Right.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Blair and a second from Commissioner Hoard to approve items 1 and 5 under Section 9A, Ongoing Business. And that's the adoption of previously published rules. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thank you, Chief. Now, Chief Mueller, for items 2 through 4 under ongoing business, under A.
Yes, sir. One more time, Wayne Mueller, Regulatory Services Division, last bit of RSD business for the day. As you recall, last meeting, I brought forth compassionate use program rules, which is what these are, based on changes the legislature made this last session through House Bill 46. Item number 2 required us to put some, the bill required us to put some language in place regarding intake and process of applications to that program. As at the last meeting, I emphasized that those rules have to do with prospective window or process for intake of applications and do not apply to the current expansion process that we are right in the middle of. Even though I emphasized that last meeting, there was still some confusion in the public, so I want to say that again on the record, that these are for any application intakes in the future. That's what item number 2 would cover. Item number 3 has to do with potential revocation of a license. The legislature, again, through House Bill 46, put some language in place regarding once a conditional award of a license is given, the entity has 24 months to stand up operations. Additionally, a current licensee has to continue operations. As you may recall, a couple of years ago, one of the licensees struggled to maintain operations for a significant period of time. They did correct that, but there were some concerns about that. So the legislature did put in place that the consequence for failure to maintain operations is potentially revocation. And then lastly, item number four concerns satellite locations. That was, again, a new concept under House Bill 46. The rules here have to do with the requirements for security around a satellite location, because the main point of a satellite location is to store product, THC product, overnight at those locations. We did receive two public comments on these three rules. One of them simply voiced support for these rules coming to existence, and the other one was absolutely inconsequential. And so we do not see any need to make any changes to these proposed rules based on the public comment. And so at this time, I would request consideration of the commission to adopt items A, 2, 3, and 4 so that they may be placed in the Texas Administrative Code. Be happy to try and answer any questions you may have.
Any questions for Chief Mueller? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve under Section 9 ongoing business, Section A, 2, 3, and 4, items 2, 3, and 4 under A ongoing business.
Now I make a motion that we adopt these amendments as proposed.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Long and a second from Commissioner Hoard to adopt the rules as presented in our agenda under Section A, items 2, 3, and 4 of ongoing business, which is Section 9 of the agenda. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Thank you, Chief. Item B under ongoing business, report discussion of possible action regarding the modification of the DPS organizational structure and the appointment, promotion, ratification, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of a member of the department or commission management team. Colonel Martin, do you have any items for us?
Yes, sir. Chairman, commissioners, we actually have two requests for consideration for appointment this morning. The first one is Vanessa Mayo, recommended for the chief of the finance division to replace Susie Whittington. We open this up to internal and external, and the board selected Vanessa Mayo for your consideration. She started her career at TABC, the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, 20 years ago. She promoted through the ranks to be the chief financial officer of TABC in 2015. She joined the Department of Public Safety in 2022 as the assistant chief of the finance division. And most recently, she served as the assistant chief of the regulatory services division. She has a bachelor's degree in business management and a master's in international business from the University of Texas at El Paso. There was a lot of competition for this position, and she was selected by the board. And I see one of the other competitors in the room today, Megan Sanchez. And we all know how talented Megan is. And so if Vanessa was selected, that says a lot about her competence. So that would be our recommendation for chief of the finance division.
Commissioners, any questions for Colonel Martin? If not, I would entertain a motion to approve Vanessa Mayo as the chief of the finance division at the Department of Public Safety.
So moved.
I'll second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Blair and a second from Commissioner Long to approve Vanessa Mayo as the new chief of the finance division of the Department of Public Safety. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Congratulations, Chief Mayo. You had one more?
Yes, sir. Our next recommendation for approval would be for assistant chief in the information technology division. This was again opened up to internal and external candidates, and the board selected John Kelly. He is a seasoned technology leader with over 20 years of experience in manufacturing, oil and gas, healthcare, governmental industry. He was most recently served as the director of IT infrastructure at Texas Health and Human Services Commission. He led a team of 150 IT professionals supporting an enterprise-scale operation for hundreds of thousands of users statewide and approximately 50,000 internal users at HHS. He held positions at Baylor Scott & White and ExxonMobil, and he has a bachelor's degree in telecommunication engineering technology at Texas A&M University. So he was selected by the board, and he would be our recommendation for your consideration and appointment to the position of Assistant Chief of Information Technology.
Are there any questions for Colonel Martin? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve John Kelly as the new Assistant Chief of the Information Technology Division of the Department of Public Safety.
Make that motion.
Second. We have a motion from Commissioner Blair and a second from Commissioner Hoard to approve John Kelly as the new Assistant Chief of the Information Technology Division of the Texas Department of Public Safety. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Congratulations, Assistant Chief Kelly.
Chairman, that's all we have.
All right. Moving on. Item C under ongoing business report discussion, possible action regarding ongoing criminal investigations pursuant to government code section 411.0041. We'll handle that in executive session. Moving on to section 10 of the agenda, reports. Any members of the commission wishing to give a report? Item B, finance report. Anything from finance? It's you now.
What? You don't have a report?
Chief Auditor's Office, anything in addition to your report earlier? Thank you. Any division reports? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 11, consent items. Colonel Taylor, are there any changes to the consent items? Hearing none, I would approve. Seek approval, a motion to approve all of the consent items under 11, section 11 of our agenda consent items.
I'll make that motion.
A motion?
Second.
Thank you. Motion from Commissioner Long and a second from Commissioner Hoard to approve all items under section 11 of our agenda, the consent items. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Item 12, items for future agenda. Commissioners, if you have items you would like to cover at the next meeting, please get those to either Phil or Sophie. Item 13, date for the future meeting. Discharge hearings will be scheduled for December 10th, 2025, and the regular Public Safety Commission meeting is scheduled for December 11th, 2025. The Public Safety Commission will now go into closed session at this time, pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act, Chapter 551, to consider matters authorized to be considered in executive session under Government Code Section 551.0710720730740076 and Government Code Section 411.0041. The time is 11:23. 3 a.m.
Where
the Public Safety Commission has ended a closed session and is now reconvened as a quorum and open session. The time is 1:26 p.m. If there's no further business, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I so moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Stoutchill and a second from Commissioner Long to adjourn the meeting. Is there any further discussion? I will just add, this is our final gavel in this meeting space, and it's been a great space. We look forward to the new one, so thank you all. Motions on the floor. Do we all in favor say aye?
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. We're adjourned. So.